You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And he wore your clothes. This is a big deal. And Johnny Carson, if anyone's old enough to remember, and some are who are listening to me, they remember Johnny Carson. And they remember how stylish he was in a casual, stylish way. And he wore a narrow jacket every once in a while. So that was big for Pierre Cardin. But if you're going to tell me that the creation of the narrow jacket is more important than breaking the sound barrier, I'm going to ask you to leave the earth. I'm just going to say, you're just too stupid to be on the earth.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And I'm sure Jeannie McManus agrees with me on that, and we'll get to her in a second. Let me just open by saying two things. One, to Greg Garcia, who listens. I did get the email. I thought I responded to it. Maybe I didn't respond to it, or maybe I hit the wrong button and sent it to Chef Roberto Dona, which I do most of the time. That's very possible. And two, and if you heard that small laughter in the background, I welcome my son back. Michael is back from South Carolina, surprising me to be here today, which makes me very happy. We're going to have Jeannie and Tori on, and we're going to open in with some news. And before I get to that, I will say that when Tori got on the phone, Tori, tell the people what you said when you got on the phone hookup about Jeannie.
Well, I said I was so excited that we got to be on the show together today, because that's always spectacular. But I said, you always refer to her as Jeannie, but when she introduces herself to people, I hear her introduce herself as Jean. So I thought maybe I've been mispronouncing it all these years.
So my reaction, Gene, was that I just do that all the time. I say Jeannie all the time because I've always done that. And you've never said to me, you fool, it's Gene. You've never said that to me. I would have remembered that. So are you okay with being Jeannie to some and Gene to most? And how do you think of yourself?
I think of myself as Gene. I have never referred to myself as Jeannie. I grew up as Jean. At about age 50, people started calling me Jeannie. And I thought, is this insulting or is this a compliment? And I think that because of the way it is spelled, J-E-A-N-N-E, many people, and I understand why, think that you pronounce that Jeannie. But in fact, when I was growing up, it was actually quite a common name in Catholic schools, J-E-A-N-N-E. My mother wanted to name me for a good patron saint, and so that patron saint is Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc, sure. Her,
why didn't you name me Joan? But nevertheless, that's my background.
May I ask you something, Tony?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so I wondered if this was a whole Catholic thing, because Jean, that's going to be so hard to say, Blessed Sacrament and Visi, Georgetown Visitation. I bet Jeannie will be just too much fun for the nuns, right? That's too casual, too hip.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
thank
right.
You.
I mean, there were some names that you were not allowed to name a Catholic baby. It had to be a saint's name. You couldn't name a baby Polly. No, maybe you could. Well, or Molly. I mean, it had to be a saint's name. It had to be in the canon of saints.
So there's no Catholics named Justin or Austin or things like that are not saints?
Who knows? I mean, you know, back then, the cosmos of saints was pretty large. It's been thinned down recently as some of these turned out to be apocryphal, not real. So probably not an Austin. There might have been a Justin.
So this is what I was going to say is my name is Anthony. Nobody calls me Anthony. I've never been called Anthony. My mother did it when she was angry, but very, very rarely. And I've always been Tony. And at an advanced age, I have a name that ends in that familiar sound, Tony, you know, like a child's name. Tori, you took the name Tori, and that has the same sound. I've always you know, all of my friends. I have a friend from high school, Bobby Candell. He always refers to himself as Robert. Everybody calls him, you know, I guess now they call him Robert because you want to be an adult. And the diminutive form sort of, you know, makes you more childlike. It's comfortable for me. But do you feel that way, that if you are Jeannie, you are somehow, you know, reduced?
Not really. I mean, come on. At this point in my life, that's not
something
revealing. I'm going
to... I think this is very revealing, Tony.
How?
I think this is a good New Year's thing. We need to make a shift and call Jean, as I stutter through it, what she wants to be called.
Oh, yeah. No, people should be called what they want to be called, even if it's your holiness. If that's what you want, I think people should be called that. But
can I take that?
One thing that cemented Jeannie in the Washington Post newsroom was that Howard Simon, who was then the managing editor, so the second in command,
Howard Simon,
always
yes.
called me Jeannie. And I was not going to walk up to the managing editor and say, excuse me, could you please call me Jean? So that's how it kind of grew in the newsroom.
Okay. All right. So I got it. All right, Nigel, do some news.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Doug, we'll start off with some college football. There were a couple of bowl games last night.
Oh, my God. Did you see this guy, Kyle Trask, who everybody says is a Heisman Trophy candidate because he had a great year at Florida? He threw three interceptions in the first quarter. He killed his draft stock. He went down around, at least around, maybe two rounds. Oklahoma destroyed Florida. Florida's lost three games in a row. Oklahoma may be the best team in the country right now. Did you watch any of that? Gene, Torrey, did you watch any of that?
I watched some of it, but wasn't the story of the evening the Smash Trophy?
Yeah, I was going to get to that in Wisconsin.
What's that?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so Wisconsin wins the vaunted Duke's Mayo Bowl, 48-28. And then the celebration afterwards, they dropped it's one of those crystal trophies in the shape of a football. They dropped it, and it smashed into 1,000 pieces. They later claimed to have fixed it by attaching a tub of Duke's mayonnaise on top of the base of the trophy. But yeah.
Well, this is what I was going to ask.
Did Still 28 ounces.
Yeah, did they coat the thing in mayonnaise so that nobody could have held it?
Well, you got yourself a salad now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, glass salad. Yeah.
By the way, I am a great supporter of Duke's mayonnaise.
What is it? I don't know. Is it Duke Siebert? Who's the Duke in this?
It's a mayonnaise. I think it's very popular in the South. It was very hard to find. For a while, it is better than Hellman's mayonnaise.
And Gene, didn't people like Ina Garten put it on the map? If you weren't from the South, I think that's how we learned about it.
No sugar added.
No sugar to it. Oh, Michael, tell them about your pilgrimage to Zaxby's.
Oh, we'll get to that. I need more runtime for that. We have to go to my four chicken finger platter that I ate chasing the boys between the Zaxby's and the Burger King off exit 22.
Okay. In what state were you in?
This is North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay, tremendous. Because Michael went out on a reconnaissance mission to find out about Zaxby's, since we've had so many people from Statesboro, Georgia, proclaim how great Zaxby's is because it is from Statesboro,
Georgia.
Tried to
get the chicken sandwich, but they only had it on Texas toast, which was just baffling to me, so I went with what I knew. Different spice blend, though, that you might find at a Bojangles or a Chick-fil-A.
So, Gene, as a former food editor, are you up or down on Texas toast?
I don't know what Texas toast is.
It's gigantically thick bread.
It's like three pieces of white bread put together with a lot of butter on it.
Yeah. It's really, it's enough. It's a meal in itself, but a bad meal. It's a bad meal.
It sounds like something good. That would clot in my stomach.
Yeah, that's what it would do. All right, Nigel, go ahead.
Well, this is some sad news for me because I'm a fan of the Boston Bruins, but very good news, or at least good news for your Washington Capitals. Zdeno Chara, the former captain of the Boston Bruins, has signed a one-year deal with your Washington Capitals. Chara, aged 79, will make $795,000 for Washington.
There's two things to know. Three things to know. One is that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. More appropriately for this deal, he's 6'7". He's the biggest guy in hockey. He's 6'9", maybe. He's enormous. He's absolutely enormous. And he's 100 years old. I mean, it's doubtful he can play very well at all. But Tori, you go to all the games. You must know Chara from the Bruins. What do you think?
I know of him. I know of him, Larson, because of my children, and who are bigger Caps fans than I am, and they're really excited, and they thought it was great, and it's only $800,000 or something like that. But can I tell my TJ Oshie story very quickly?
Sure.
So Christmas morning, our wonderful children give Brian and me a Cameo video. I think we talked about Cameos before. Famous people do these quick videos, very personalized for someone. And you pay $100, $200, whatever it is, depending on how famous the person is. And they're very, very well done. I am, you know, Devin got me Stormy Daniels last year for my birthday. They're great.
Stormy Daniels.
Christmas, she did a very nice job. So they got us a Cameo video from TJ Oshie. And I'm
She's a skilled performer. That's how come she did a good job. But go ahead.
Exactly. She knows how to show up. So is TJ. Right. And he does this wonderful video. Tori and Brian, thanks for being Caps fans. I hear you've had more beers through New Jersey than I have, which is saying something. Great. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever. Really well done. And we watch it. And I said, that is great. And I looked at my kids who do not necessarily plan ahead. And I said, how long ago did you guys have to get that? And they said, yesterday. I said, what? And they said, yeah, Christmas Eve. And it's his birthday. So now I'm thinking to myself, how nice a guy is he? Or how badly
how poor.
Is he spending the millions that the Caps pay him that he thought
needs
I
money.
A couple $100 on Christmas Eve? But
there's a lot of money in these Cameo videos.
Huh?
There are there's a lot of money in this.
Really?
Yeah, like bit TV actors who are famous in one scene. Yes.
I should do them.
I can hear the wheels of Tony's brain spinning.
Yeah, that's a retirement income. That's good. Okay,
Absolutely.
What else, Nigel?
And you can go cook chicken in their kitchen.
Yes, I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Or didn't you always talk, Tony, about how you wanted to just do celebrity lunches with people?
No, I hate celebrity lunches, as Gene well knows. Gene and I went on our first and last celebrity lunch together. It was awful.
Because as you said, like after you order, you know, like I've run out of
things. It's over. No, there's nothing to talk about.
So what do you think about the Nats offseason, Tone?
Just, yeah, awful. All right, what else?
Melancholy at betrayals, Mr. Tony, for Don Wells, better known as Marianne on Gilligan's Island, passed away yesterday at the age of 82 after battling COVID-19.
So I was not, I mean, I know Gilligan's Island. I know what the people looked like at that period of time. I am not as enraptured of this particular show as many people my age are. I think she's probably the last surviving member of the cast. Jean, did you watch that show? Was that a big one for you?
Not 1 second of it. Never.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Tori, did you, you're pretty young. You wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. I think it was probably winding up when I started watching television. I liked it. And I think, wasn't it one of the first shows where there really was this ensemble cast and you really got to know them and it was as much their personalities as anything else throughout. I think it was quite fun.
I think there were like 6 or 7 people away.
Yeah, and I was an idiot when I was young. I thought maybe it was true. I think I probably thought it was a true story. Oh,
okay.
Documentary,
But when it was on, we were a one TV household.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that now, but it was often the case back in olden days.
I understand that, and then I guess your parents get to rule as to what will be on if you have one TV. We had one TV for one car and one TV pretty much all of my life till I went to college. We had one car and one TV, and we didn't get color television till I was a junior or senior in high school. We didn't have it, you know, didn't have it. It was no color, it was all black and white. What else, Nigel?
By the way, one small correction. Tina Louise, who played Ginger, is the last living cast member. She's
86. Good. Oh, great,
so
great. Good for her. Good
and
for her.
I have one final
maybe
story.
Maybe, Tori, maybe your children can get her to do a celebrity video for you next year.
Exactly.
I bet it's not $200. I'm just saying.
No. It's $15 in car fare. It's nothing.
Mr. Tony, this is what many people are describing as the perfect crime. I'm going to take you to Peabody, Massachusetts on Christmas Eve to a Petco. A couple entered the store around 4:30 p.m., asked an employee if they could play with the albino cinnamon ball python. How many of us haven't wanted to do that in our lives, play with an albino cinnamon ball python? When the employee said, that's against the store policy, the man then said, well, then I'd like to just buy it. So the employee put the snake in a box, brought it to the register area. When the employee put it on the counter, the man grabbed the box, and he and the woman who's with him ran out of the store, and they are still at large, as is the albino cinnamon ball python. That is the perfect crime.
Well, it's perfect, except that there's undoubtedly pictures of these people at the register, don't you think?
One would think. I'm not sure how high tech. I don't know if they have Simply Safe at Petco. If they did, they could just review that videotape.
Well, Nigel, aren't there python sniffing dogs around that can find it?
Yes. Well, they have to bring them up from their special duties down in the Everglades where they're hunting the Burmese pythons.
Well, that's down. But so that is the whole point. If they avoid Florida, they can keep this snake until the snake eats them, because the snake will eventually eat them, right? And that's what snakes do.
Yeah,
they'll eat them.
Exactly right.
It'll wrap itself around them, crush them, and eat them.
Yes. And the other spouse will say, I don't know why they did this. The snake always seemed to like us so much. No. Snake looked at you and said, one day I'm going to eat you.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. This was fun. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
Yes, that's Gene, not Jeannie anymore, and Tori. And we will take a break.
I don't care.
Thank you. We will take a break, and we will come back with Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Wonder Woman 1984 ad. All of you can experience the epic adventure Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters and on HBO Max, now streaming at no extra cost to HBO Max subscribers. So if you subscribe, you get this. Plus, with HBO Max, stream the greatest collection of series, movies, and exclusive Max originals all in one place. Discover something new to watch: The Undoing, The Flight Attendant, His Dark Materials, and so much more. And so much more, I think, implies there are more shows. I don't think there is a show called And So Much More, although...
Second season.
Yeah, it is the second season of And So Much More. Go to HBOMax.com. HBOMax.com. I shouldn't have to spell that for you because HBO are letters. HBOMax.com, or download the app to sign up and start streaming today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Crooked Coast. Or this is Crooked Coast. It's Luke, it's John, it's Ben, and it's Shaq. This is called Crooked Christmas. And Rob Dundon writes, every year we talk about doing a Christmas song, and this was the year. We wrote it for a yet untitled Hallmark movie filming on the Cape. And then parenthetically adds, set your DVR, Carol. They wanted a slow version, but we send you the rocker. So, you know, they're really wonderful. And they send us stuff all the time, and they're gonna, they'll play in Jeff Ma later as well. Crooked Coast, we're big fans of theirs. They play in Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports, and I'm gonna start. I'm gonna do local, just because I know you've talked about this on radio, because you couldn't be in this area and avoid talking about this.
Yeah.
What do you make of Washington abruptly, and I think correctly, cutting Dwayne Haskins and nobody claiming him? Nobody wants him. What do you think?
Well, I think that the transaction was inevitable. It turns out they didn't need him anymore, didn't think he was one of their three best quarterbacks, three most available quarterbacks, around the middle of the third quarter, or certainly by the end of that game when Heinicke ran around and made a few plays. At that point, he was completely expendable. They weren't going to fire him during that game, but they sure were going to fire him pretty soon after. And they would have done it the previous week. And I shouldn't say they. Say Ron Rivera would have done it the previous week if he thought that was the best thing, the best move to make to try to win a vastly important football game. And he decided that, no, this guy might give me my best chance to win, and I need to explore that option. And then he reached a point where he no longer thought that. And then it went from being a defrocking of a captaincy and a $40,000 fine to a termination. And have a nice career.
Go ahead.
No.
All right, so let me just say this as somebody who's watched him. I am so tired of people writing columns bleating for him to get another chance. He's had multiple chances. He blew every chance that he had. He had terrible behavior off the field, and he wasn't any good on the field. This wasn't any good. So, everybody blames all the other people involved in this. How about blaming him? I read a story last night. You know, I read the story last night. I hope to get another chance, and I'm really going to be better. You know what? He's Johnny Manziel. He's not going to be better. Am I wrong on this one?
I don't know if he's Johnny Manziel, because Johnny Manziel had some demons and some substance stuff going on that I think
okay.
is
yeah, no, Dwayne Haskins doesn't have that, but it's repeated bad behavior.
Yes.
It's repeated.
Well, I'll say this. Nobody was given up on Manziel at age 23. They just weren't. He wasn't out of the league and sort of expunged. Not even all the way through his second season. I think Johnny Manziel played before he should have, and same thing with Haskins. I think Johnny Manziel got caught up in some coach versus owner stuff, which I would say Haskins absolutely
sure.
did, and Jay
sure.
Gruden did him no favors by playing him when he did. That he got caught in a tug of war between a coach who didn't want to be there anymore and an owner who came this close to firing that coach over the spring and summer. Excuse me. The year they drafted Haskins, and no, I'm not surprised that nobody claimed him, because it's a lot of money on a rookie contract, and everybody knew he was going to clear. And then if you have some interest, you can get him at your price on your terms. Do I think someone signs into a no-frills deal? Probably a multi-year deal, because if it does work out, you want to be able to control him for a while. It would not surprise me, Tone. And then where it goes from there, boy, I don't know. There's a lot of variables. He's got a lot of growing up to do. It's got to be the right group around him. But I will just say this. It takes a village to raise a quarterback. That village in Ashburn has never – I mean, you got to go back a long time.
Right.
So when that village last correctly incubated, developed, cultivated, and stuck with a young quarterback. So I think you got to factor that in as well.
I'm going to give you all that, and I do think he's going to get another chance. But he, whenever he does something bad, he says, I'm taking accountability and I'll try and do better, and then he doesn't really actually do better. To me, there are two teammates of his from Ohio State on that team. I haven't heard them say, boy, he got hosed. I haven't heard that.
No,
I haven't heard it from Chase Young or Terry McLaurin. I haven't heard it.
And when they're in the situation they're in with their season, and the coach is dealing with his health issues, and you just laid an egg against Seattle, and then the prevailing story that week is your social media, and was it a strip club or wasn't it a strip club, and does it even matter because you're still violating protocols, and we're trying to stick together here and win this division title, and we need you the most now, and this is what you do. No one's going to come out and defend him. It was over here. Like that, I was reporting as much. It was, and look, this thing was over week three when he got benched and asked for a trade, and they kind of sort of tried to trade him, but not really because they still weren't sure about Alex. I mean, this whole thing has been, it would have been over by the trade deadline if not for this division being so bad, if not for this somewhat miraculous situation with Alex Smith that also comes with major caveats, if not for, you know, Kyle Allen getting knocked out for the season. But yes, this was the end there. No one was really going to come out and be like, we got to keep this guy around any longer. But I don't know that those sins make him completely untouchable in other buildings. You have to do some homework. You need to talk to him. You need to talk to people around him. You need to get a sense of where his head is at and what he's really – what how badly he does want this, his dedication, his willingness to work. I don't know anyone, even those in that building who least like him as a quarterback, I don't know anyone that thinks he's a bad kid. I don't know anyone who thinks he's on a self-destructive path. He's just very immature, not that self-aware, and he needs to be more of a self-starter.
Okay. All right, let me move on to something else, talking about people who will be at different spots next year. What do you make of J.J. Watt? What do you make of all the things J.J. Watt said about the team that he plays for? I mean, has there ever been anybody who basically said, could you get me out of here right now, more than J.J. Watt?
Look, I reported before the trade deadline that he badly wanted out, that he did not want to return for his final year in Houston. He had told a lot of people that you know, I'm staring at my football mortality. I have had a really nice career. You know, a lot of people say historically significant career. I have not played in any historically significant games. I am not on a franchise with a franchise that it looks like it's close to playing any historically significant games at any time. I only have so many more football games in this body, and I only have one more year on my deal. And I know I might not pass some teams' physicals, or some teams would have issues about my health at this stage in my career and whether I'm worth 17 or not. But whatever games I do have left in my career, I don't want to be playing them next December for another five-win team, you know, playing for a draft pick. That's done. And I think this was, as much as this soliloquy was about what's going on with that team and how frustrated he is by it, I think it was also a release of a lot of what's been inside him, which is, I care so much. People around here don't seem to care as much. This is another wasted season for me, going nowhere, playing for that guy O'Brien, who we were never going anywhere under. And now they get rid of him, and we still can't win games. There's still all this palace intrigue about who's going to win the fight for Cal McNair's heart and mind, and who's going to win the fight for what coach we bring in, and who he's going to have ties to, and who's his guy going to be. And it's just not really about being the best franchise we can be and winning football games. And I'm not going to attack the owner, but I damn sure I'm going to shine a light on what's going on in this locker room. And this is why I don't want to be here anymore. This is not professional grade. This needs to be better. And I'm near the end, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at the rest of the league. I'm looking at my brother in Pittsburgh going to the playoffs. I'm looking at my hometown team, the Green Bay Packers, flirting with the one seed. We got four wins.
Right. Can't endear him to his teammates. Cannot. They must want him out now, don't you think?
I think everybody in that building knew at the trade deadline that this was the end, and that Cal McNair was going to have to do right by this guy, because he was going to make it clear that this was no longer smart for him or the team to have him, you know, as one of its highest paid players in the final year of a deal where there wasn't going to be an extension and where he wants to go to a winner. And I think you need to respect someone who's given all he's given to that franchise. I think you need to respect that. And they weren't quite ready to go there at the deadline, because it would require, it's a difficult trade to make with the contract, with the medicals in season, with COVID restrictions and everything else. But you got 6 months now before you play a real football game again. And I'll just tell you what I would have told you at week eight at the trade deadline, that he does not have a future in Houston, and he won't be there in 2021.
Okay. I'll ask you a TV question.
Okay.
How about flexing the Eagles and the Washington football team to Sunday night? The highest rated show every week is Sunday Night Football. How about flexing two complete losing teams into that? What do you make of that?
You know, I think you look at the schedule, and it's one game that you could move to that window, and no matter what happens in any of the earlier windows, it's going to decide something significant.
That's right.
It's going to decide a four seed. And just the weird way that this thing has played out this year, boy, nothing else. I mean, you couldn't be sure with you know, is Pittsburgh, Cleveland, it looked good 2 weeks ago, but, you know, by Tuesday, Tomlin said what everybody knew he would say: I'm going to airmail my guys into the playoffs, which I could listen to Mike Tomlin. I would love to see him, like, say grace at Thanksgiving. I could listen to Mike Tomlin read a phone book, or not that those exist anymore. He's just the best. But he wasn't going to play his guys, so what does that game look like? And by halftime, Buffalo's not really going to be playing their guys. So what would that look like? You know, Jalen Hurts is trying to win over that job, and they've got to – look, there's plenty to talk about with the Eagles with their season if you're looking for backstories and subplots that aren't exactly what's happening on the field. And then, I mean, Washington, come on. I mean, you've got the quarterback who's not there anymore. You've got the nickname thing. You've got Ron Rivera. You've got Alex Smith and this redemptive story. And maybe Tyler Heinicke, who last we saw him was shotgunning White Claws in the XFL or whatever. Like, you know, it's not ideal, Tone, but I think, you know, Rams against Cardinals. I mean, it might mean everything. It might not. It also might be Chris Deverer against John Wolford. Like, that might be your starting quarterbacks. So I just think it was them, you know, looking at a situation where, well, where are we guaranteed to have significant playoff factors? And while you don't have the Cowboys on TV, I mean, if they could get a zoom anywhere around Jerry Jones, if he wins his football game, you know, sitting around watching this one, you get to talk yes. about the Cowboys at least. So, I'll be watching.
Me too. It is, by the way, it is pretty amazing to me that without a bubble, the NFL season is going all the way through. But it does lead to this. Because of what's happened recently with Cleveland, because of what happens in meeting rooms and people don't, what happened in Denver, I'm going to assume, and maybe you will assume as well, that when we get to the championship games in the AFC and the NFC and then the Super Bowl, I'm going to assume a bubble of sorts, or am I wrong?
I think teams will do their individual. I think teams will have the latitude to do what they see fit. And the closer you get to that chalice, the more you might be able to get full buy-in from, you know, for a period of, you know, 6 days between the division title and the championship game, where people essentially stay in a hotel or you know, sort of quarantine to some degree. I don't think the league is going to step in and intervene unless a situation, you know, demands it. I think as the field whittles, you know, everybody who's there still has the ultimate motivation. And most teams, most coaches, most players, most strength and conditioning guys have adhered to this thing pretty, you know, vigilantly. So I don't know that it's going to go there. I don't know that it's going to have to go there. But obviously, look, we could have this conversation tomorrow and we could be talking about a completely different landscape than what we see right now. That is the nature of this virus. So nothing is obviously guaranteed.
All right. Plug your radio show for us.
You can listen to me meander and pontificate from 2 to 6 every afternoon. A lot about the NFL, but not solely about the NFL. On Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore with my co-host Ken Wyman and our super producer and super Washington football team fan, Cordell Woodland. We are also on the radio.com app. We'll make you laugh. We'll make you cry. Spend your New Year's with us.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Good
you
job
nice
out of you.
Here, man. Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you. You too. Okay. Jason Lockenfora, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We are going to come back. Jeff Ma, is going to join us because he usually joins us. And by usually, I mean he's been on every week from Bet the Process. There is a James Carville sighting. It is possible. It is possible James Carville, whose record has been totally expunged. It's 0-0 now. It is possible Carville will join us and say something about football games. It is possible. I'm not exactly sure. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Simply Safe ad. Everyone wants to keep their home and family safe, whether it's from a break-in, a fire, flooding, or a medical emergency. Simply Safe Home Security delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. Don't like 24/7. With Simply Safe, you just don't get an arsenal of cameras and sensors. You get the best professional monitors in the business. They've got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, or EMTs when you need them most, straight to your door. Michael, you installed this in our former, I guess our present studio that we're not in. Do you think it's still working?
Still working. Couldn't be easier to install. Nigel and I handled it with no issues.
Simply Safe has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that protect every inch of your home. You can set it up in about 30 minutes. Michael did it. Nigel did it. It's super easy. Then Simply Safe's professionals take over monitoring your home and ready to send help the moment there's an alarm. Plus, with Simply Safe, there's no long-term contract, no hidden fees or installation costs. So I skipped over the 24/7 because I don't really like that.
Why don't you like 24/7?
It's such a cliche. It's just such a cliche. Why don't you go 24/7, 365? You know what I mean?
Why don't you talk about the signs you see in the neighborhood?
I hate the signs in the neighborhood. I hate them. I'm not a sign person. I mean, there's one sign I really admire, and all the others I
don't.
I was
talking about the Simply Safe signs.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. Yeah, a lot of people use it.
They're comforting.
I thought you meant those signs.
No, this
says,
is still,
you know,
the Simply Safe read.
Okay. Right now, listeners to this high-quality podcast get a free home security camera, which is worthwhile, I add parenthetically, when you purchase a Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/Tony. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's really nothing to lose. Visit Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Tony for your free security camera today. That's simplysafe.com/Tony. And as we always say, Use the code, people. Use the code.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Crooked Coast one more time. This is a song called See You Again. And by the way, if you care about the band, John and Jenna McNamara welcome baby John back in October. Ben still refuses to join the Facebook, but continues to raise the bar for albums and merchandise with Luke. And Shaq became an American citizen last week. Congratulations. Finally, Luke, ever the optimist, says, all these challenges reminded us how much we love creating magic and music. So stay tuned for 2021. If you want to listen to Crooked Coast in its entirety, the end of the podcast, you can do this. And Michael, how do people send in original music?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiserschow.com.
Okay. So James Carville left this show in anticipation of the election. He was verklempt about the election. The election turned out good for him and us, I would parenthetically add. We think there'll be a new president on January 20th. And James, we expunged James's record because he was not fully into football when he was making picks. Not fully in. You're back. What have you got? You must feel good about the election.
Well, I feel good about Georgia. That's what I've been spending my time on. But we'll get out of the political realm here. I got one macro pick.
Okay.
The Saints are really good bet at 17-2 to win the Super Bowl. Why do I say that? I'm a homer. I admit that. Remember, Michael Thomas is coming back to the playoffs.
Right.
Drew Brees is at 50%, and we don't have the best receiver in the league. At least last year was the best receiver in the league. That is going to – we played Kansas City. It was a close game. They beat us 32-29. Drew is at best 50% if we had no Michael Thomas. It's going to change the whole – way that team plays. They go into the playoffs with the best running back probably in the league and at least last year's best receiver. I am more, if I could take either New Orleans or Tampa Bay to win over Green Bay or Kansas City, I would. I think New Orleans, the problem New Orleans is going to have, if they have to play Tampa Bay again, they got to beat them three times in one year.
It's hard to do.
That's hard to do.
Yes. Right?
To the bowl games for now, but I would really look at the Saints at 7. Last I looked, it was plus $850, which figures out to you bet 200, you win 1700. I think that's a good bet. All right, in Georgia, in Cincinnati are playing. Georgia's a 7-point favorite. Take Cincinnati. Georgia does not want to play this game. They don't want to play. It's a giant disappointment. I know it's at the Peach Bowl. It's like a home game, but nobody goes to them anyway. What the hell difference?
That's right. And
Cincinnati is good. Are they as good as Georgia under ordinary circumstances? Probably not, but these are not ordinary circumstances. The one SEC team I would take is A&M in late at 8. Why do I say that? Because Jimbo is pissed. All right. He didn't get in.
He's angry. He's angry that Ohio State's in. Yep.
And his team has something to play for. And he is going to use that. I don't generally like the SEC in these lesser bowl games because you saw what happened to Florida. Florida has a lot of people.
They stunk.
Played that game. But they had plenty of people out. And I could like Tulsa -2.5 over Mississippi State. I think Tulsa's pretty good. And again, if you're in Mississippi State, Tulsa's more excited about playing this game. They got more to prove. I think these bowl games are just sloppy this year. People are not that interested in them. But if you got a team that's motivated against a team that's not motivated, I think that goes a long way in these things.
Do you have picks in the playoffs? Do you have picks in the playoffs?
No. I mean, I went through it. I just can't get excited about the NFC East.
No. I mean in the college football playoffs. I mean the Alabama game and Ohio State game.
I'm just going to go with these three.
Okay.
That's 20 points is a lot. That's a lot of points to lay. I mean, I know Notre Dame's perpetually overrated. I really like Army. I really want to take Army, but they have the kids are starting some kind of a potential cheating scandal, and that would be a terrible distraction. I think there's 17 players on the team that are going to play that maybe this is going to turn out to be less than we think, but that'd be a pretty big distraction. So I laid off Army. As you know, I'm a big Army fan.
I know. Yeah, you've liked Army, and Army had a really good year. That's a two-loss team. They had a really good year. Yeah.
Great year. I really liked them, but the cheating stuff worries me. You know, if you got 17 of the players, that scared me off of them.
Okay. All right, so I'm
concentrating now. All right, before the thing, I'll go 0-3, but at least if people follow me, they know I thought about it. I don't mind. I don't mind going 0-3, but what I don't want to do is get up 10 minutes before and then pull three teams out of my ass. That's not fair.
Thank you, James. Thank you, James. James Carville, boys and girls, and we'll have to make a decision whether or not to use that particular exit line, which I like so much that I'm going to say, yes, we're going to do it. That's really good. All right. Is Jeff Ma with us, or do we have to make a phone call?
I think Sean is calling him as we speak.
Okay. James was wonderful. I'm sort of surprised that he didn't pick the college football playoff games, though. Want to lay all that much. You don't. If I learned anything last night, I now worry about Alabama, because Alabama and Georgia was a one touchdown game. Now Alabama and Florida was a one touchdown game, and Florida looked inept last night against Oklahoma. Really, again, I'll say this again: Oklahoma may be the best team in the country right now. They lost their first two games, and they were eliminated at that point. But they're really good. And Alabama's playing Notre Dame, right? I don't know that they can cover. That's a big number. What's the number on the Clemson game? What is the number
Clemson
on that?
Clemson giving 7.5, I see here.
Just 7.5 on Ohio State. Well, that's because they figure Ohio State is motivated because of what happened with Dabo Sweeney putting them 11th in the last poll. 11th. Yeah. So the game that James picked, Texas A&M, what bowl game is that? Who are they playing?
UNC.
Texas.
Oh, North Carolina?
Yeah, that's,
okay.
That's the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Yeah, you know, you didn't have to call it the Capital One.
The Orange Bowl.
It's the Orange Bowl.
It's the Orange Bowl. Jeff's on the line.
Jeff's with us. Okay, so we make the smooth transition to Jeff Ma from the podcast Bet the Process. Jeff Ma, 5-1 last week, 8-3 in the last 2 weeks. The big sprint towards the finish. The question that overhangs week 17, particularly with games involving, for example, Pittsburgh, which is not going to even play its regulars, and Buffalo, which by the second half may yank the regulars. Is there a method to betting these sorts of games, or do you just, Jeff, stay away from those games?
Yeah, I think those games are tough because you just don't know who's going to play. When in situations when the teams are sort of resting players, and you think they may pull players, it's hard to bet either for or against those teams simply because the market, this is not knowledge that nobody knows, right? Like, this is already built into the line at some level, and how the market and how a market reacts to something like that is better than you as an individual can. I think going into, you know, week 17, there are some interesting narratives that you can look at, right? There's these teams in these, you know, must win or need to win situations. And oftentimes what you'll see in those games is that those teams will get bet throughout the week. And by the end of the week, that narrative that this team needs to win has created value on the other side. And so betting the other side late in those games tends to be a pretty profitable situation, because there's a reason that these teams need to win. They're not elite. They're not the best teams. There's a reason they're not in the situation where they can rest players. So oftentimes, again, those teams become overvalued by the market.
I think there's like 8 or 9 games with playoff implications that somebody has to win. And I said this yesterday, it is altogether possible in the AFC that an 11-5 team will not make the playoffs. They will just not make it, which is almost unheard of. Although the Patriots, the year that Brady got hurt, were 11-5 and did not make the playoffs, if I remember correctly. So who do you have for us this week, Jeff?
We're going to take some of those teams. We're going to take Cincinnati plus 13 against a Baltimore team that, you know, everyone is on board right now. But again, I think this line will continue to go up. I like Cincinnati getting a lot of points here. Right now it's 13, but I think it'll end up becoming more.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Bears plus the 5.5. against the Packers. Obviously, the Packers have looked great last week and generally look like the best team in the NFC right now. But the Bears have played really well down the stretch. They went from having sort of a dismal quarterback play to all of a sudden having a pretty reasonable quarterback play with Trubisky back in there. And this is a game that, you know, both teams obviously need, so I think motivation is equal. Obviously, Chicago needs it a little bit more because Green Bay is just, you know, trying to lock in that first round bye and home field. But I like Chicago getting the points here.
Okay. What else?
I'm going to take San Francisco plus the 6 points. I just think San Francisco is a team that's, you know, again, playing hard, getting players back. No reason to mail it in this one. Getting 6 points here, I think is value on the Niners. They showed last week that they're still playing hard, and I think they certainly can keep this game within the 6 points.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with the Eagles plus the 1.5. Again, this is going to be a situation where people are going to say, oh, they're going to mail it in or they're going to quit. I think with, you know, a team that is still relatively young, the quarterback that is young, they're going to want to win this game. And I think we saw last week that Washington is having some struggles. You know, obviously they're starting a different quarterback and one that may be a little bit well-rested instead of being at a strip club. So they'll be in a better situation potentially to win this game. But, you know, you're still talking about an undrafted quarterback that will be starting for them. And I'm just not seeing where they should necessarily be favored in this game.
Okay. Got another one for us?
And then finally, the Giants plus the 3 against Dallas. Dallas is a team that everyone is now sort of on board with. Their game last week made everyone think that this is the elite, talented team that people thought would be, you know, one of the class in the NFC. But Giants, you know, have a very, very good defense. I think we'll give Dalton some problems, and we'll be, you know, they'll just need to score. Hopefully Daniel Jones is a bit healthier than he's been. I mean, and this Cowboys team can give up some points. So I like the Giants plus the 3 here.
Do you have any thoughts on the college football playoff games? So every once in a while you give us one of those. Are you doing that this year?
I probably should have looked a little bit at those to give out. I mean, obviously the bowls this year are a little wonky. You don't even know whether they'll some of them will end up getting played. It's hard for me not to like both favorites in that game, because I do think that you know, Clemson and Bama are a class above both of these teams. I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan. My dad came over from China, went directly to South Bend, Indiana, and got a master's there. So I would love to see the Irish do well, but in every situation they've been in recently, and when they've played an elite team like this, they've lost, and they've lost badly. And I think this is a situation, unfortunately, where Alabama is a historically great team, and I think Notre Dame will have trouble in this game. So I would, if I were to take anything, it'd be Bama there. And then certainly Clemson is proving that with the health that they've gotten. I mean, the first time they played Notre Dame, they had 5 starters out, and you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence, which is big. So now playing against an Ohio State team which struggled to score and struggled quite a bit against a Northwestern team, I like Clemson also to cover the 7.5. So I think both favorites, and then hopefully a great national championship game.
Yeah, I won't hold you to those picks. I mean, I'm not going to put them down, but I just wondered if you had a particular thought about that. The thing I had said earlier is when I saw Florida last night, and they were so close to Alabama in the SEC championship game, it gave me reason to think that maybe Alabama wouldn't cover, because that is such a big number with Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a big number. You know, the Florida, I heard you saying your thoughts on Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma is a really good team. And the thing that was different about them this year than any of the former Lincoln Riley teams is how good their defense was. And that was an interesting game, because Florida opened as a favorite and ended, I think, as like a touchdown underdog or something like that. So, there was a lot of momentum on Oklahoma at the end of the season.
There was. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls, his podcast with Rufus Peabody, who apparently everybody who listens to this show went to high school with, is called Bet the Process. Jeff Ma's dad picked up a degree at Notre Dame. Wow, that's cool. That's interesting information. That has nothing to do with him being a water polo player, of course, but I wonder if his dad played water polo in China. I wonder if they have water. They have water polo all over the world.
They
have it all over the world because it's an Olympic sport. It's been an Olympic sport forever, so they obviously have it. All right, we will take a break. We will have email and a jingle when we return. Yes, am I correct on that?
That is correct, yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I know I'm correct on that.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Fantastic. That's the marching band from the University of Missouri. Makes me very, very happy. Nigel, you want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes. Bethesda Bagels, we love them. You will as well. Go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location nearest you in the Washington, D.C. area, and then stop on in. Start your year out right. Head on by and get some great bagels with the bagel sandwiches like we got today, and you will be very happy.
Michael's saving that bagel sandwich. Michael, just a quick review. Up or down on Zaxby's? I mean, where are we?
Big thumbs up. More of a family-style establishment than even Chick-fil-A or Bojangles. A lot of platters. I'm interested in the seasoning they put on the crinkle fries. The crinkle fries are very nostalgic. You go in there, it's like when you trick your mom into getting you the Orida baking French fries. They were not as crunchy as those, but there's a little sweetness to that Cajun blend.
So you'd go back?
I'd go back. I'm leery of the Zaxby's sauce, but I'm interested in the salads.
Oh, they have salads?
They have salads.
Everything's named has a Z on. Tremendous. That's it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say, should old acquaintance be forgotten and never brought to mind? Really? Should old acquaintance be forgotten? Days of old lang syne? Let me thank Gene McManus, Tori Clark, Jason LaConfora, Jeff Ma, Abet the Process, and the great James Carville. And thanks as well to our sponsors today, Simply Safe HBO Max, where you can now watch Wonder Woman 1984. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jordan Owen in Traverse City, Michigan. Since we're on the topic of Northern Michigan, I'd like to report that in the northern parts of the Lower Peninsula, where you'd find myself and Ed Butt residing, that almost a quarter of the civilian vehicles on the road are Subarus. Also, nearly every diehard cross-country skier, of which we have thousands, seems to drive one, usually 5 miles an hour beneath the speed limit. If this was not enough, these tassel beanie-wearing, more kid-loving-than-you folk almost universally claimed to be University of Michigan graduates. This triple crown of insufferableness could only possibly be surpassed with the addition of a graduate degree from the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern. I knew you'd understand. From Kyle, longtime listener, first-time writer. I write to you from Wisconsin to share my holiday experience upon traveling past the snowy steel fields, which are as abundant as steel thrives in frigid conditions. I arrived at the house of my parents, whom I related to by way of birth. I knew this year would be different as I was set to meet my sister's new boyfriend. I will only say the introduction began prior to even meeting him, as I pulled up to the site of a white Subaru taking up multiple street parking spots. I went inside with good intentions, as maybe this was an abandoned rideshare vehicle. The evening progressed, and I still didn't know to whom the Subaru belonged until we opened gifts. Boyfriend, as we shall call him, hands my mother a gift. Upon opening, uncovered a beautiful Brooklinen throw. Piercing through the clatter of joy, I simply ask him, did you use the code? To which I received a dumbfounded gaze. It was then I finally knew to whom owned the Subaru. Much like in The Godfather 2, where Michael's suspicions of Fredo are confirmed, I now hold the fear that the Subaru army has infiltrated my family.
Rearview mirror is definitely folded in.
Dear Mr. Tony, a lunar cycle is 28 days. 365 divided by 28 is 13. That means that every year has 13 full moons, with the rare occasion of being 14 full moons every 28 years, excluding leap years. Thank you. I enjoy the show, and you're not a complete idiot. Signed, Liam Talu, age 14. From John Holt in Chester, Virginia. While you posited the great question of whether it's us or the moon that is moving, I think you have stumbled onto an even more astounding fact. How can the same moon be in both Washington, D.C. and South Carolina at the same time? If you can figure out the answer to that question, you could revolutionize travel forever. Keep us posted on your daily research and findings. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, yes, the moon is the same size all the time. Think of it as a tidalist. It looks bigger when it's close and smaller when it's further away. And yes, it has landmass. In fact, the whole thing is a landmass. It's a big rock, no water. As you sit there in your Nehru jacket, please consider these points. Chip Robinson in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. It was great to hear Chris back on the pod. Could you do me a favor and tell him to eat it? Thanks. From Michael Kochev, congratulations to Lace on his discovery of fire. Looking forward to his next appearance when he details the wood options native to Rehoboth Beach. Please ask Lace if he needs any artisanal ice to go with his Malibu. We have lots of it here in frigid Tillinsburg, Ontario, Canada. From Raphael in Midland, Texas, love Saliza. I wish he was my best friend. Don't tell him that. From Sam Angel, our friend Sam Angel, now in Silver Spring, Maryland. Without a daily commute, as we are now solidly in month 10 of working from home, I often find myself a day or two behind on the podcast and therefore without any timely email topics to contribute. But before this year ends, I wanted to write you and wish you and all the crew a safe and happy new year. I'm so thankful to you, Michael, and Nigel for keeping the show going this whole time, but it's been especially great to hear Gary, Jeannie, Liz, Tori, Kevin, and even Chris on recent shows. Most of all, Carol says hi. Most of all, I consider myself extremely lucky to have become even more of a part of the connective tissue, getting a chance to join the Chatter Exiles trivia team a few times before the pandemic hit. So happy new year to all the bigs, littles, and mediums, especially Bobby, Claire, Jeff, Jamie, Dina, Joel, Neil, Jen, Brian, Mark, Karen, everyone else who would have welcomed me into the local littles fold so quickly and wholeheartedly. Lachiserie, and here's to a much improved 2021. And from Neil in Rockville, to close out the year, that was an interesting explanation for Bob Ryan's lack of appearances over the recent past, because I'm sure, like many littles, I just presumed it involved his cell phone. If you're out on bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Okay, we wound up 5-11. Not very good. But there was some worse than us. I guess that's one positive way to look at it. We weren't the worst team in the league.
Grandkids gathered around. The snow is falling down. Christmas.
Shake this feeling.